Welcome to the Life Church Auburn Hills Sermon Podcast. We're a multicultural community being transformed and empowered by the grace, truth, and love of Jesus. We hope that you are encouraged and challenged by this week's message.
Welcome. You all can be seated now, please. Thank you. I hope you all had some good conversation. Let's do a little survey. Raise your hand if you're a morning person. All right, maybe about half of you. Raise your hand now if you're an evening person. Okay, pretty even. What about neither? Okay, there's a few of you. Okay, or both. Or what about this? Raise your hand if you wish you were a morning person right now. Just kidding. Don't do that. Because I don't want to feel pressured to keep you awake today, all right? Hi, my name is Young Chen, and I'm just so thankful to serve here as one of the pastors. Today, we're going to be going through and continuing on our series called Connect Four. These are just four ways that we connect with God. And today, what we're talking about is true rest. We're going to explore what it means to truly rest in God and rest from our work, rest from our anxieties and our worries in life. All right? You cool with that? All right. So before we start, let me pray for us, okay? Why don't you all join me in a word of prayer? Oh, Lord Jesus. We know that you've brought us all here, not by accident, but on purpose. So Lord, we pray that your spirit might be among us and in us today as we hear from your word, as we hear from you encouragement for our souls. So Holy Spirit, come. Use me as I speak, and may you just be constantly just dwelling in all of our hearts as we engage in your word together. So Lord, may you go forth powerfully, and may you comfort all of our souls today, even myself, as we all come before you, humbled by your presence and humbled by your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So this idea of rest is a very old one. If you know, there's this book called Genesis in the Bible, and God said that when he created the world, each day he did something, but on the seventh day, what did he do? He rested. So he rested from his work, and then he commanded the Israelites, his chosen people, to do the same. In the fourth commandment, God says, honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. So the Jewish people, ever since that time, for generations, centuries and centuries, rested from their work because God rested from his work. I experienced this firsthand. So I went to Israel in the summer, and on Friday night after I had dinner with the host family, a Sabbath dinner, I go back to my hotel, I go to the elevator, I press up to go to my room, I hop in the elevator, door closes, goes up, bing, first floor, the door opens. There's no one there. I walk out, it's not my floor, no one there. Door closes, goes up again. I'm like, okay, now it's going to my floor. Third floor, bing, door opens, no one there. I'm like, okay, what is going on here? Someone just pressing buttons and not taking the elevator? I go back in, then we go to the fifth floor, then we go to seventh floor. I was like, okay, you know what? I just go to my room, I sleep. Next morning, I go downstairs for breakfast, I look at the sign by the elevator, and I see this. Shabbat elevator. Stops on all the odd floors. And I was like, that's right. I just had a Sabbath dinner with the host family the night before, and in their house, Did you know that all the light switches are pre-programmed? You can't even turn on or turn off a light switch because you are honoring the Sabbath. You can't even conduct any type of electricity, whether it's elevator buttons or light switches. So imagine that you all are the Jewish people. One day a week, you're resting from your work. You don't do anything work-related for centuries and for generations, all right? Now we're going to go back to the first century. But still, in the first century, you've been doing it for many, many generations, hundreds, thousands of years. Imagine you are the Jewish people, right? And I come along, and I'm like, hey, my name is Jesus. Come to me if you are weary, if you are burdened, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest for your souls. What would you think? You'll think I'm crazy, right? Who is this radical that we've been practicing the Sabbath, we've been resting once a week to honor God, to connect with God. And now you're telling me that we have to now rest in you? You can imagine what the Jewish people thought and felt. The leaders, the Pharisees and Sadducees, they were not very happy that this Jesus guy comes along, challenges the status quo, and tells them to rest in him instead of on this tradition of the Sabbath that they have. So what do they do to him? Eventually, they hate him so much that they get him killed, crucified on the cross because of his words and because of his actions. But we all know this, most of you in here. We all know that Jesus is actually telling the truth because he is God. 100% God and 100% man. Only Jesus could tell us to rest in him because he is God. So now that Jesus has arrived on the scene, he is telling the Jewish people and he is telling us today that true rest is found in him, that we don't have to wait for one day every week to rest. We can connect with God through Jesus all the time, 24/7. Amen. So the first step, today we're going to do a three-step process, a three-step habit to connect with God. And the first step is go to Jesus. I believe this statement is as radical today as it is 2,000 years ago. Our fellow brother, dear brother Brendan, and fellow pastor, trying to find him. He's somewhere in here. But anyway, he told you all a few weeks ago that he loves drinking coffee in the morning. Y'all remember that? That's one of his habits, drinking coffee, making his coffee. And I'm not judging him or any of you all if you drink coffee in the morning. But I just want to give you some statistics on caffeine and some other substances that we use to show you that in this world, some people are getting a little uncomfortable already. That in this world, okay, not just you all, but everyone out there, okay, uses these things a lot. All right, first thing, caffeine. Caffeine, okay, someone loves caffeine out there. So I combine statistics from coffee and from energy drink because both of them have caffeine. So this is a kind of a lowball measure, a conservative estimate of $200 billion industry worldwide. So that's just caffeine. But then you have alcohol. Alcohol worldwide is $1.4 trillion. If you combine alcohol and caffeine, I would say it's at least about $2 trillion industry worldwide. Do you know how much a trillion is? You know, a million, right, is one with six zeros. A billion is 1,000 millions. And a trillion is 1,000 billions, okay? That is a lot of money that we spend as human beings drinking coffee or other caffeine substances and drinking alcohol. That is crazy. That is why my statement earlier of going to Jesus for your rest is radical. Because many of us go to caffeine and go to alcohol, okay? I think it's actually a combination. In the morning, you're tired. What do you drink? Coffee. In the evening, you're stressed out from work. What do? Alcohol. It's an interesting combination. But we know that in excess, those can be deadly, right? And also, new drugs are now coming on the market to heal our pain, our suffering, stuff like opioids and marijuana. That's just been legalized in this state, actually. So we don't know. Those industries are still rising up, and those might be billion, trillion-dollar industries as well. So we all need to realize that we use a lot of things other than Jesus. We rest in a lot of things other than Jesus. So first step is to go to Jesus. And I believe that the reason why so many people don't go to Jesus and go to these other things is they don't know Jesus. They don't know that God cares for them. They don't know this verse coming out of Peter that says, cast all your anxiety on him, on Jesus, because he cares for you. So when I saw this verse, I was thinking, what does anxiety mean? And why is anxiety singular instead of plural? The NIV right here translated correctly. But in the original language, the word anxiety is singular. So why is anxiety singular when we have so many worries and anxieties, right? From our jobs to finances to our families and friends and tons of other stuff. Why is it singular? So one thing I did to try to figure that out, and I'm going to invite you all to explore with me, is I put both the Peter text and the Matthew text side by side in its context to see if there's anything similar about these two verses. All right, take a look at this. I'll give you a minute max, maybe 30 seconds. Take a look at these two passages and see if there's anything in there, if there's a key word that kind of shows the connection between these two verses, these two passages. Do you all see it? I think some of you have caught on to it already. The answer is the word humble. Then got me thinking, what does humility have to do with our anxiety? I was thinking and thinking, and I was like, oh my goodness. I think I figured it out. You see, pride is the opposite of humility. And pride, I believe, is a mask. It's a pretend kind of inflated view of yourself that covers up your insecurities. I was reminded of my prideful days. I'm not saying I've overcome that, but there was a time in my life, in college, that I was a little bit prideful of how studly, I guess you could say, I was as a young man in college. I thought all the girls liked me. I thought all the girls that gave me any kind of friendly, you know, was friendly to me, was flirting with me because they liked me. Because I was just perfect guy, right? Everyone wanted me. But this is all in my head. This was all in my head, right? But because of that, whenever these girls start to, you know, whenever I start to like this girl or that girl, I start to see flaws because they're not as perfect as I was, right? I was like, oh, this girl's not pretty enough. That girl's not athletic enough. This girl isn't spiritual enough. None of these girls were good enough for me. In fact, I have evidence of this. Take a look at what I wrote in 2007 in my blog, all right? There's 5 comments, so maybe we had 5 applications. Needless to say, I was single throughout college. You see, the reason, this might be half joking, but it's half serious, I think. The reason I was so prideful and thinking I was so perfect as a man, thinking all these girls wanted me and thinking none of these girls are as perfect as I am, so I reject all of them, is because I was actually incredibly insecure deep down. I was insecure about my looks, I was insecure about just my career path, and a lot of things I was worried about. So I had to put up this front, okay? I had to walk with my chest out, you know, and like walk with a little swagger and pretend that I was all that. When I actually felt deep down that I was probably nothing because I was afraid. I was afraid to get close with some of these girls because I thought that once I got close to them and they saw me for who I truly was, that they wouldn't like me anymore. They saw my fears, my anxieties, my worries in life, that they'll just leave. So that's why I put up this front. And I think some of us today are also fronting, are also pretending to be someone that you're not. And I didn't realize this until a lot later on even. When I was sitting at Whole Foods with my girlfriend at the time, and she told me this. She said, "You know, Young, you love talking about things that you are good at. And you love talking about things that I am not so good at. Why do you do that?" So when I heard that, I was like, wow, that's true. I think I like to make myself look good and make other people look bad. And that's another way that I cover up my insecurity. Do you see how it works? And that's why we need each other here. That's why this community is a beautiful community of different cultures, yes, where we can learn from each other and grow and see how God works in different cultures. That's beautiful and that's awesome. But another beautiful thing about a community like this is as we get to know each other more, we get to call each other out on our pretending, right? We get to be like, hey, why you like this, you know? And then we get to go deep into people's lives and into people's hearts and see all these insecurities, all these anxieties, why they manifest themselves in the way that we behave, in the words that we speak. So that is why we need each other, because we can't see it ourselves. I was just walking and doing my life thinking I was great, but I didn't see that how that came from my insecurities, my anxieties, my worries about myself and my future. So that's why we need each other to kind of call us out. That's why, like last week, talked about friending. We need friends in our lives that will call this stuff out. So today, I will be your friend. And I will tell you to stop pretending to be someone you're not. Because I see you. I see you all. And even more than that, God sees you. God sees every one of you. God sees through your pretending and straight into your heart. And God sees all the ugly stuff that's in your heart, all the brokenness, all the pain, all the suffering, all the dirt that you have. And God still loves you. And God still tells you, I'm here for you. Just come to me. Because of Jesus' word, we can come to him in prayer 24/7. We don't have to wait one day a week to rest, to connect with God. We can rest in him, connect with him, pray to him at all times. We can always give him our anxieties. So today, I want to give you one simple practice, one simple habit that comes from these three steps. One, go to Jesus. Two, cast your anxiety. But I want to show you a way to do it. So when you're at home praying to God, I encourage you to pray in this way. Pray with your knees on the floor. There's something when you put your knees down, you are laying down yourself. You are humbling yourself, laying down your pride because you are on your knees. And that posture helps your mind and your body humble itself and to release your anxiety, your worry, your stress onto Jesus. It doesn't really matter what you say to God, or even if you don't believe in God, if you do that and just breathe out and just be like, God, if you're there, just take my worries, take my anxiety, take my stress. And then after that, you get up, you'll feel a little bit lighter, will you not? You'll feel like a little bit of weight has been taken off your shoulder. You'll feel like you actually received something from God, that he has given you his peace. Because he said that his burden is light, his yoke is easy. When he gives us himself, we feel lighter because we feel like there's someone there that has taken our anxiety. Just like when we have a friend that we can talk to. When you vent to a friend, you know that, right? You know that they hear you and you feel a little bit lighter after you talk to your friend about a certain situation. So I can invite the band up now as we start to close. And I want to encourage you all to be reminded as you go out your week to, one, go to Jesus. In this world, we have many things we can go to. And we forget a lot of times to go to Jesus. And when you go to him, get on your knees. Get on your knees, humble yourself. Because we know that our anxiety stems from our pride and our insecurity. Get on your knees, humble yourself, and then just breathe out. When you speak, actually, you're breathing out, right? Breathe out, speak to God. Cast your anxiety and your worry to him. Because he cares for you. He loves you. He's always there for you. You can do this anytime, not just once a week. And number three, when you rise up, you get his peace. You know that he actually heard you. You know that he's actually there. You know that he actually did something to you during that process, that he transformed you a little bit more to himself, that you have now a new identity in Jesus. So let me pray for us as we close, that we can all do this. And if you want, I'm gonna get on my knees. If you want, you can join me if your knees are okay. If not, please, I encourage you to do it on your own, okay? Let's pray together. Oh Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, you are reminding us today to humble ourselves before you, to get on our knees because we are small and we are nothing compared to you. So Lord, we pray that you will rise us up. We pray that you will take our anxieties. We give it to you right now. Our worries about our families or our jobs or our health, we give it all to you. And we trust in you to take these things and do with it whatever you will. Take these things and heal if it is your will, take these things and mend and mold and rise us up from our ashes. Take our brokenness, Lord, and use it for your glory. Our lives are for you, O Lord. So help us to realize that. Help us to cultivate this habit of going to you and going to our knees before you and laying down the things of our lives that burden us so that you can take those hurts, those deep wounds that are within us and make something new and beautiful from them. So Lord, thank you for hearing us. Thank you for this time of worship that we could have in this place together. And as we rise up, may you rise us up and give us this new life, a new feeling, a new comfort as we feel a little lighter because of what you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. If you want to learn more about us, visit us online at lifechurchauburnhills.org.